Lawrence Prospera is a community-driven, nonprofit organization committed to our mission of strengthening the individuals and families of Lawrence, Massachusetts through the development of thriving neighborhoods. CISU presents Hola, Honest Opinions with the Lawrence Attitude.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. We have a very special guest for you today, longtime community activist, executive director of Lawrence Prospera, and superintendent of the Lawrence Family Development Charter School, Mr. Ralph Carrero. Mr. Carrero, how are you today?
I am excellent. The sun is shining. It's a nice fall day.
Well, thank you for joining us on this beautiful day. I know you're a very busy individual. So without further ado, let's get right into these questions. Rumor has it that you were born in the Dominican Republic and raised in Lawrence, Massachusetts. Is that correct? And if so, when did you move to the States?
I'd like to know how that became a rumor, but let's dispel the rumor. I was born in the Dominican Republic. I was born in the Dominican Republic last century.
Wow.
Mid-century.
Where in the Dominican Republic, if I may ask?
On the east side of the island, it's a town called Hato Mayor de Rey. It's right next to San Pedro de Macorís, where all the famous baseball players used to come from, but now they come from all over the island.
Oh. My
parents migrated to the United States when I was 2 years old. So my route to come to the United States is no different than many of the other Dominican families that were migrating here back in the last century. We moved to New York City. I got to live in New York City, the West Side, Manhattan, for a few years.
I know exactly where that is.
And then we moved to Lawrence, Massachusetts in 1967. My parents moved here because there was an abundance of work. Lawrence was famous for its mills. So my parents came here seeking a better life for their children and obviously work opportunities. And my entire family has been in Lawrence since 1967.
Wow. So there's a lot of roots here in Lawrence. Growing up, did you have any hobbies? Were you involved in any programs or community activities?
In my family, because I'm the oldest one, is how my father used to discipline the household. So the discipline came via me. And then by the time he finished with me, he never touched my sister because it's a female. When he got to my brother, he was gone. He made his escape out the back door. So my upbringing was a very disciplined one. I went to schools in Lawrence, in the grammar schools. I went to the Catholic schools, where the Greater Lawrence Family Health Center is on Park Street. Used to be the Assumption School. That was my elementary school. From there, I went to St. Mary's Grammar School, where the Oliver School is currently occupying. And from St. Mary's Grammar School, I went to the Greater Lawrence Technical High School to do my high school years. And then I went on to Northern Essex, the University of Massachusetts, and continued my education at Fitchburg State and a stint at MIT and Harvard University.
Very interesting upbringing. Any programs or community activities during that period of time that you were involved?
I think that one of the reasons why I was able to have a path towards success was because since my mother and father had to both work second shift in the mills, one of their friends told them about this wonderful place called the Lawrence Boys Club.
And
they enrolled
me
in the Boys Club. It wasn't the Boys and Girls Club. It was the Boys Club back then. And they enrolled me in the Boys Club since I was 10 years old. So my routine was school. As soon as I finished school, I got dropped off at the Boys Club. And I lived in the Boys Club till I was 19 years old. So I participated in everything under the sun that had to do with sports or activities at the Lawrence Boys Club.
Beautiful. It sounds like a very interesting, childhood from what it sounds in that during that period of time.
It kept me out of trouble. So because you were focused on sports, you practiced a lot, you got to go to games, we got to travel to different sports arena, we got to travel to different boys clubs to play against them. So it kept me focused in that area. And as a result, I never was one that had gotten into any trouble because it was school and sports.
I like that. I like that. And I think nowadays, our children are missing some of that mixture. You know, getting involved in sports, getting involved in programs, community activities of that nature, and school, be able to balance both of them.
I think that's the secret for a parent in raising children today, especially in an urban center like Lawrence, is to figure out what type of structure to put them in and the opportunities and the programs that exist. When you do that, kids have an opportunity to learn networking skills, to experience different opportunities that they wouldn't have if they weren't involved, and hopefully start to make some career choices as they get a little bit older. But I think that that's the secret to parenting, is to make sure that you have structured programs for kids to be involved in, and hopefully they won't vary from that path.
I totally agree. A parent myself, I totally agree. I was able to incorporate some of the community activities or after-school programs, you can say, with education as well. So I'm proof that that is something that parents should consider, definitely. So what led you to do the kind of work that you're doing now?
My lifespan has spanned three career paths.
Interesting.
When I finished my college years, actually during my college years, I had the opportunity to stay and work at the Boys Club. So I was an individual service counselor, and I worked with the younger kids, and I enjoyed doing that while I was going through school, and it helped pay for my college education. So I got introduced to the counseling type of aspect of work, of working with young people early on in my career. Mm-hmm. When I graduated from college, my first career position was a social worker with the Department of Social Services for the state. And I had the opportunity to work with families that had a lot of need. I supervised families, unfortunately, because there were children that were in the custody of the Department of Social Services. And because of my ability of being able to speak two languages, I was a rare find for the Department of Social Services back in the early 80s. So I used to represent the Department of Social Services at the local district court, which was Lowell. As a result of me making presentations to the judge, I got recruited out of the social service aspect, and I went into law enforcement. I was tapped by the district attorney's office to expand their juvenile diversion program that was in Essex County, and I took that role on. And as a result of my work in criminal justice, I was recruited to become one of the first state bilingual probation officers out of Lawrence District Court. So I thought that my career now, social work, probation, criminal justice, was all well and good, and I would make a career of it. And sitting in my office one day, I get a phone call from my former superintendent of the high school that I went to, which was the Greater Lawrence Technical High School, and he asked me to come and see him, and he made me an offer that I couldn't refuse, and it wasn't based on money, by the way.
Yes.
Money was good, but it was a result of the transition that was happening in the city of Lawrence and the amount of Hispanic kids that were going to the vocational school in Andover, and me being a product of the vocational school, he felt that I would be a perfect fit to go back to school, get my master's degree in education, and run the programs at the technical school. So I went into education, which was my third career, and I've been there ever since, except for that little small stint that I had as a politician here in the city of Lawrence.
Tell us a little bit about that, about the politician, the short.
Well,
whatever you want to share.
Because I was an educator and I was dealing with a lot of the social issues that were going on in the city of Lawrence at the time, and we were seeing that at the technical school, and I was always opinionated as to why things were going on and what needed to be done to rectify them or at least try to address them. I had some close friends that were already involved in politics, and one of them said, you know, you tend to have a lot of opinion and you're passionate about the work. I think it's time maybe that you consider running for public office. And because my work was in education, they felt that the city of Lawrence, which was going through the same transition, the school district of having the influx of Hispanics coming in, they asked if I would run for the Lawrence School Committee. And I ran for the Lawrence School Committee back in 1991, and I became the first Hispanic elected official in politics in the city of Lawrence. I served for about 11 years, thought that we could still move forward, and I ran for mayor in the city of Lawrence in 1997 and again in 2001. And after that, that was my closure in politics, if you will.
I see. Now, what are the most important lessons you've learned over your career? If you could tell us a little bit about that.
My career now has spanned over 40 years, so I think I've accumulated a lot of experience. I'm still passionate about the work that I do. I do apply my experiences that I've had, especially the successful ones. But I think the biggest skill that I learned is patience. When you're passionate about the work that you do, you want to fix things right away. But you know what, when you're dealing with human beings, especially young people, it's like sticking a cake in the oven and you gotta let it take its time to rise. And you don't take it out before it's time. So although with people, you can give advice, you can walk them through things, unless they're willing to make that sacrifice and demonstrate that themselves, all of the work that you do toward trying to rectify, provide prevention, provide counseling, isn't going to work unless they want to be helped. So I've learned to be patient with young people, and I've learned to be patient with a lot of grown-ups also.
I have to agree with you. I think patience is a key. They say patience is a virtue, right? To be able to have that. So that's a very wise lesson in life that we can all apply to our lives, especially me. I know patience is something, it's an ongoing process. So tell me about the three most influential peoples in your life and how they've impacted you.
Ooh, let me see. I would say, obviously, I think my father is the first most influential individual in my life because he kept pushing me, made sure that I stayed on the right path, insisted that I get a good education, instilled in me the virtues that I have today. Thank God that he's still alive. He's a senior citizen. And so is my mother. So I would say he was the first one because he pushed me in that direction. The other person that was influential is still around, and he has a huge reputation. His name is Steve Kelly, and his name is on the boys' club. It's called Kelly's Club at the Lawrence Boys and Girls Club.
There's a lot of history there, I see.
Since I lived at the boys' club 6 days a week from the time I was 10 years old till 19, and he was the director of all programming there, I was able to establish a great relationship with him. And through sports, you learn lessons in life, and he was always there for me and pushed me. I would say that the third most influential person in my life was my former superintendent at the high school that I went to. Mm. He instilled in me the vision of the cycle of life and why it's important that you give back to the community you grew up in, and be prepared to take on those skills and those tasks that others won't. So I oftentimes fill the gap as a pioneer, being of Hispanic descent, being Dominican, and being one of the first Dominican families that was established here in the city of Lawrence. So those three individuals certainly have had a huge impact in my life. But there are a lot of other people that I've encountered along the way that have an impact in my life also.
Now, you said earlier about, you know, the your family rooted in Lawrence, Massachusetts after migrating to United States. I know you said it was New York for a short period of time, but then you guys ended up in Lawrence, Massachusetts. So what are your favorite places to visit in Lawrence, Massachusetts, and why?
Oh, wow. That's an interesting question. I oftentimes, when I'm talking to some of the kids that we have here at the CISU Center, that I know every one of the 713 or 16 streets that exist in the city of Lawrence. Wow. I've walked about just about every street, whether it was on my bicycle, whether it was going to the south side of the city to play basketball, whether it was playing baseball up on Tower Hill, or whether it was walking the streets, knocking on doors when I was running for public office. Mm. I know the city of Lawrence like the back of my hand. And every single aspect of the city of Lawrence I enjoy. I relate to, and I feel very comfortable and at home here in the city of Lawrence. Lawrence is a very unique place. It has a wonderful history.
Yes. Tell us about one favorite place you have that you can say, you know what, I love this place. I like it over the years that you can relate to out of all the places in Lawrence, but maybe one specific favorite place that you, or maybe a restaurant or, you know, something that, you know, that you feel that over the years has,
my favorite place is the Lawrence Reservoir by the water tower that's up there.
Okay.
On any given summer day, one can sit up there, you grab a cardboard, and we would be able to slide down the grass hill.
Oh, wow. That sounds like fun.
In the wintertime, there were sleds, and you would go down the reservoir hill also.
Wow.
So my kids got a chance to grow up on Tower Hill, and the reservoir is just a spectacular view of the city.
Nice. I haven't been there, but now I'm going to put it on my bucket list to do so. So what are the three books and movies that you recommend or that are your favorite and that you recommend?
In terms of books, I don't tend to read novels or leisure books. I do read a lot, but I read a lot as a result of my work.
Okay.
So I do read a lot of leadership books, a lot of educational books, a lot of policy. And I can say one of the most inspiring books that I have read is a book called Inspiring Leadership that talks about skill sets and developing skills in young people to look toward. And when you hone in on those areas, the likelihood is that you would be successful in the work that you do.
Yes.
I do enjoy the movies.
Mm.
My taste in movies has changed throughout the years. I tend to now look more toward documentary.
Okay. Yes.
Films. Sports specific. The last series of movies that I've watched that I never had a chance to really look in depth on was The Life and Times of Muhammad Ali.
Which is very interesting, yes.
People look at Muhammad Ali and, he was a showboat. He had a big mouth. But he could back up that mouth
with
his skill set. And knowing now the sport of boxing and looking back, you could see how talented he was. But in addition to that, I think that he wasn't able to verbalize himself in the way you would think a person of education would.
Mm-hmm.
But he really took on civil rights right alongside with Martin Luther King.
Yes.
And I found it to be incredible when I went back and watched the documentary that's still running.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably see it on Netflix or Prime Video, one of those. But when you get a chance to look back and see the stance that he used to take, he was an incredible man. So that was one particular movie series that I enjoy. And I still, you know, my leisure time is spent doing work. I enjoy the work that I do.
Tell us a little bit about that. What kind of work?
Well, as you know, we're sitting here at the CISU Center, and the CISU Center has been a dream of ours. Back 10 years ago when we decided to reorganize the nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, I am the executive director, but I'm also the superintendent of the charter school. The charter school has met with tremendous, tremendous success. And what happens is that because the charter school was so successful, it was overshadowing the nonprofit. That's when we decided to try to make a valiant effort of changing the nonprofit by changing the name so we could separate them. And then taking some of the successes that we've had within the nonprofit. In the early days, our nonprofit, when we talked about working with young people in the city, was Youth Build. And we've had a very successful Youth Build program for approximately 20 years. We took the concept of Youth Build and we grew it. The city of Lawrence asked our organization, as a result of the work that we do with high-risk kids, dropouts, which is what Youth Build does,
yes,
and asked us to take on the Safe and Successful Youth Initiative that the city was granted back around 8 or 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. Thanks to the relationship and the support that we have from Representative Frank Moran, he was able to make that connection through the city and advocated for our organization to take on the ASSYI program. Our leadership team then went to the table and we sat down and we created a vision of programming for kids that didn't fit into the mold of being able to go to the YMCA, the Girls Club, or the Boys Club. They were still, and they were having trouble in school. So the CSU program that we have here is a broad safety net to be able to capture all of those young people that are struggling, that are having difficulties with the law, with home, with domestic violence, with homelessness. You name it, we provide those services of trying to help young people reestablish their lives and reconnect.
Thank you for listening to episode 1 of OLA, a podcast for the people. This concludes part 1 of 2 of our interview with Executive Director / Superintendent Ralph Carrero.
This podcast is brought to you in part by Lawrence Prospera and is recorded in the multimedia room at the CSU Center. Nuria Rivera is our host and Paul Thompson our engineer and director, with assistance provided by young adults at the CSU Center. Technical support provided by Tony Schumann. Our producer is Paul Heithaus. Executive producers are Jay Bartosik, Ralph Guerrero, and the Lawrence Prospera Board of Directors. Thanks to the generous support of the City of Lawrence, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Executive Office of Health and Human Services, and the Massachusetts Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. Thank you to the New Balance Foundation, the Filene's Foundation, the United Way, the Nordson Foundation, and the Essex County Community Foundation. And a big thank you and shout out to the Maximus Foundation. Without their support, this podcast would not be possible. And lastly, a very special thanks to our guest for sharing their stories with us today.